How many fingers I got held up? All right, how many now? You don't know. You can't see it. You got good vision. Some of you said three. You knew it. You could see it. But vision is seeing what could be and what should be. And the Lord put a message on my heart, Katie, and those that are taking notes. A new vision is the title of the message. From an old vision to a new vision. Going from hindsight to foresight. And God wants to bring us to the place what could be and what should be. That's what vision is. Tell me, what kind of vision do you have? 20? I'm talking about spiritual vision. What kind of vision do you have? Can I tell you something? Praise the Lord. See, if you agree with me, I hold in my hand a copy of the living Word of God that's forever settled in heaven. It's God's Word. You can trust it. And if God tells you He's going to take you somewhere, He's going to take you there. And if God tells you to do something, He's going to see you through it. And if the Lord tells you to say something, praise the Lord, He's going to enable you to do it. You know, Billy Sunday was preaching from the Bible one time, and a man came up to him and said, "I don't believe the Bible." He said, "I don't believe the Word of God." He said to Billy Sunday, "You show me one place in that Bible that's true, and I'll believe it." Billy Sunday turned to Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 33. He said this to the man, Proverbs 30, verse 33, "Surely as the churning of milk bringeth forth butter, the wringing of one's nose bringeth forth blood." And he grabbed the man's nose and twisted it, and blood came out. The man said, "I believe it." That's in the Word of God. Did you know that? The Bible. Vision. What kind of vision do you have? Really, what kind of, speaking of vision, where God wants to take you and what God wants to do. By the way, your vision today might be this. Man, you know, I need to get back in the Word. I need to get a systematic study where I'll start reading the Bible every day. I need to make a good goal where I'll read through the Bible in a year. Or maybe I'll just invest in one book of the Bible. It doesn't matter. Just get in the Word. Your vision might be this. You know what? I need to begin to challenge 15 minutes every day in prayer. Maybe 30 minutes. Maybe an hour. I don't know. But your vision today might be, you know what? I know somebody that's not going to church anywhere. And I believe that the Lord wants me to talk with them. It might be somebody you know that's not a Christian. And God might put it on your heart today that you might be the witness to lead them to Jesus. But I'm telling you, where God leads, praise the Lord, He will see you through it, where He tells you to go, what He tells you to say, and what relationships to build. We can trust our God. Let me tell you what happened to me last week. I went down, I believe, and God put it in my heart to go to this First Baptist Church, Altoona, to share the Word of God. I knew it was snowing back here and such on Tuesday, supposedly, and didn't know it at the time, but I left out on Monday morning. I got there Monday night for the service, and then after the service, I didn't know where I was going to stay, where I was going to spend a night. One man told me I could stay at his house back a few months ago, but he had other people staying in his house. And so I stayed last year at a place called Lake Yale. I don't know if you've heard that or not. Nevertheless, this place was filled up. I couldn't stay there. So I'm way down here, 400 and some odd miles away from home, and it's getting later. And I said, "Well, Lord, where would you have me to stay?" So I went to a little old town from Altoona. Altoona's a little old town, about like Mansfield. And went over there to a town. Anybody know where Eustis, Florida is? Eustis, E-U-S-T. I should have known Brother J.R. knows. He knows where everything's at there in Florida. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, hey, I went to this town called Eustis, Florida. And it was about 11 o'clock at the time. I said, "You know, I'm getting hungry." How many believe me? I was getting hungry. So I stopped by and got me some good victuals. And then I said, "Well, I need to kind of find me a place to stay by 8 o'clock in the morning." We had services in the morning on Tuesday morning throughout the day and then in the night. And so I said, "Well, where am I going to stay?" There was a motel down the road. Eustis was a little bit bigger, about 12 miles from Altoona. Anyway, I stopped by this particular motel. I said, "How much did it cost to sleep overnight?" They said $85. I said, "Forget that. I'm not going to pay $85 to spend just a few hours." Now, y'all look at me like I'm crazy, but I wasn't going to, hey. And then I went to another motel and stopped down the road, and they said, "How much is it going to cost?" They said $75. I said, "I thank you. I appreciate it. I'm not going to stay at $75 for about a few hours." Man, I've slept in the jungles of Guyana, man. I'll sleep in. Anyway, I said, where am I going to stay? It's about midnight, and I go down the road, and I find this little old motel on the left. I'll just put it to you this way. Deanna wouldn't have stayed there. Okay, I'll put it to you this way. I went up to the checkout counter, and I mean the check-in counter. I knew I was in trouble when an Indian came to the window. Can I get an amen? I'm not prejudiced at all. I knew I was in trouble when I started smelling incense billowing out the window. I was looking for that fat, bald-headed, and big stomach Buddha somewhere, you know, and or Hinduism or whatever. But anyway, I was tired. I was ready to settle down and eat some peanuts. How many know what I'm talking about? Man, I love peanuts, and so I had a jar of peanuts with honey on them, and man, that's all I want to do was rest a little bit and eat some peanuts. Well, they said, here's your room. I didn't know I was in trouble when they only had 10 rooms in the motel. Yeah, I was in trouble. Anyway, I got all my stuff out, and it was about midnight by that time. I've got my room, 114. I went in the room, and I know I was in trouble when I smelled mothballs. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I knew I was in trouble when I looked at the bedspread, and it was a World War II bedspread. I'm not kidding, all right? I said, bless God, I've just got to have it for a few hours. Guess how much it costs? $32. Can I get an amen? $32. Man, you get what you pay for. You get what you pay for. Hey, but that's not the rest of the story. The rest of the story is it's about 12, 1 o'clock. And right next door, there's a little old wall between me and the next door. Man, I could hear this bong, bong, bong. I could hear this. I don't know what it was. It may have been a television. I don't know, but it sounded like it was right in my ear. Now it's about 1 o'clock, and I still hear this noise, this whatever it is going on right next door. Guess what I did? I got toilet paper and put it in my ear. Man, it didn't help. I said, man, Lord, I got to get some sleep. Lord, I believe you brought me here, but I don't know what I'm going to do. I put toilet paper in my ear, laid down. I could still hear that bong, bong, bong. And I said, God, what am I going to do? So I put a pillow over my head. How many know what I'm talking about? A pillow to try to drown out the noise. Still didn't help. It's about 1 o'clock about that time. I said, bless God, if you can't beat them, join them. So I started praying as loud as I could. How many know Brother Pastor can pray loud? Amen. I started praying loud as I could. I said, bless God, Lord, I thank you brought me here. For about 30 minutes praying, and when I finished praying, the noise went out. Amen. I don't know what happened, but listen to this. The next morning, woke up. I was up about 4 o'clock that morning. Dan and I do our devotion about 5 o'clock every morning, center of message and verse and all. But anyway, it was about 6 o'clock that morning. I saw these four individuals walking outside of the four men. They looked like terrorists. I was in trouble. I didn't know I was in trouble. They looked like terrorists. I thought they was coming to take me. No, I'm just kidding. But anyway, I said that to say this, vision, what could be and what should be. It's not always smooth sailing when God calls you to do something. How many know what I'm talking about? But if God's calling you to do something today, praise God, He will enable you to do it. He will do it. How many want to have that guarantee? How many want to have that confidence? How many want to have that assurance today that you're in the will of God, that you're going where God wants you to go, that you're doing what God wants you to do, and that you're saying what God wants you to say? And watch this, you're building relationships that God wants you to build. Can I tell you, there are three building blocks the Lord put in my heart after I came back from this trip to share with you today. I believe they'll be a blessing to you, three building blocks. They're found in the book of Acts, chapter 9. Take your Bibles, please. Look with me in Acts chapter 9. Stand to your feet if you would as we read Acts chapter 9 verses 10 through verse 22. The message is this, from an old vision to a new vision. What could be, what should be, thank God what will be. And not only that, but from hindsight to foresight. Vision. Oh, bless the Lord. God's wanting to give us a revelation of Himself, a revelation of heaven, a revelation of hell, a revelation of the lost. In the book of Acts chapter 9, I begin reading in verse number 10. Acts chapter 9, verse 10. Let me say parenthetically, as we, by way of introduction, getting into the book of Acts chapter 9, you are well aware that Luke is the author and the apostle Paul. That is, he wasn't Paul, he was really Saul in Acts 9. He was going to persecute Christians, but how many know that God is greater than any man? Yes, he is. In fact, the Lord blinded Paul on the road to Damascus. You're very well aware of what happened. He was blinded. God revealed himself in a mighty light from heaven. And he kissed the dust and ashes. And God said, why persecute thou me, Paul? It's hard to kick against the pricks. Then Paul was absolutely converted, changed, yea, transformed by the power of a living God. How many believe that God can still change hearts today? How many believe that God still has transforming power today? How many believe that the Lord can do what man cannot do? And then Paul said, Lord, what would you have me to do? Well, God said, he was blind, keep in mind. He was blind. God said, go stay a certain place and I'll tell you, I'll fill in the blanks later. We pick up in Acts chapter 9, verse 10, if you're there, say amen. And there was a certain disciple, underline that. There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. Let's say that name together. Ananias. There's a certain disciple named Ananias at Damascus. And to him said the Lord in a vision, underline that. God, now keep in mind, this is after the day of Pentecost. This is after the birthday of the church. This is after Jesus said you'll receive power. Now, it is true, but it's before the full, what we call canonization of Scripture. That is all the 66 books in the Bible. But God came to Ananias in a vision. Keep reading. Look at it. Verse 10 again. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias? And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Is God showing you something right now? Has God been showing you anything lately? Are you going to answer and say, Lord, here am I? Look at verse 11. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and he hath seen in a vision. Look at that. God's working on both ends. We call that double vision. God's doing a double vision. He's given Ananias a vision, and yet he's given Paul a vision. Isn't that what he did with Mary and Joseph? Remember, the angel told Mary and told Joseph two things. Double vision. Look at it again. Verse number 12. He has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in. That is, Paul saw this in a vision, and putting his hand on him, and that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many this man, how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel. Wow. Unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And then look what happens, verse 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. How many believe it's important to be filled with the Holy Ghost? Are you a spirit-filled Christian today? Tell me, are you filled with flesh or filled with the Holy Ghost? Hey, brother and sister, it's the will of God that all of us be filled with the Spirit. Notice verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. That word for scales has to do with fish scales. There was some kind of thin film over Paul's eyes, whether it's physically or in a figurative sense. Nonetheless, these scales fell off. Look at it, verse 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales. He received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when, by the way, how many believe it's important to be baptized? Is there anybody here today that hadn't been baptized? Maybe there's somebody here that hadn't been baptized and you think that God's going to really bless you and use you to a great degree? I don't think so. Baptism is done in obedience to the Lord's command. And if you're saved and born in the family of God, you must follow through baptism because Jesus said it, not me. And you can expect the blessings and the fullness and the power of God until we obey some of these smaller things. It might be somebody you today that says, man, I need to be baptized. I need to follow through in believer's baptism. Maybe you've been saved since you were baptized. Maybe you were baptized, but you weren't saved, and then you've been really saved. But you really need to follow through believer's baptism, the real deal, like I did. I don't know, but I just felt impressed to say that. Look again at verse number 19. And when he received the meat, he was strengthened. Verse 19. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. Verse 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he was the Son of God. But all that heard were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound into the chief priests? But Paul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. This is the word of God. May God bless it to our heart today. And all of God's people said, a new vision. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercies. Thank you, Lord, for your vision. You said where there's no vision, the people perish. And Father, I confess we need a word from heaven today. Lord, I believe there's people today that need a word, need direction, need revelation, need illumination, need, dear God, direction in their life, decisions. And we just pray now you'll have your will and way. I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, you'll open our eyes as you did your servant Paul to see the next step that we should take. And we thank you now for your plan for us, hallelujah, your purpose for us. I know I'm unworthy. Lord, we feel so unworthy, but Lord, it's not about our unworthiness. It's about your worthiness. It's about your calling. It's about your will. It's about your glory. And we thank you now. Praise your holy name for the breakthroughs that are occurring and will occur and the differences that you're making in our life right now and in the days to come and weeks and months and years to come. Lord, we just worship you and give you the thanksgiving for it all because we pray it in the name of Jesus with thanksgiving. Lord, I pray you move on people's heart to follow through in obedience. Whatever that might mean, God, give us grace to obey and follow you. And Lord, let you have your will and way with us. Thank you now for the blood of the Lamb. We plead the blood of Jesus over this place. And love you, Lord, because your love for us. Thank you for forgiveness of my sins. And we pray now for a fresh cleansing, a fresh anointing in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. There's three building blocks that God showed me. Three building blocks that God showed me to share with you today, this week. On Friday, the Lord began to change my heart on the message. Here they are, number one. In order to have a new vision, in order to have that, not hindsight, but foresight, what could be, what should be, where there's no vision, the people perish. Number one, if you'll notice in verse number 10 through verse 12, the first building block is this, that God wants to give us a new vision that sees, watch this, that sees God's purpose for you. That is God's purpose for our life. Number one, God wants you to see His purpose for your life. He wants you to see it, but there's a second building block we'll find in the text, and it's this, namely, not in verse 10 through 12, but verses 13 through verses 16, there's a second building block. And here it is. Not only does the Lord want us to see His purpose for us today, present tense, but He wants us to understand. Are you ready? If you're ready for this, say amen. He wants us to understand that the failures in the past might remind us, but do not define us. Can you hear me? He wants us to understand that the failures in the past might remind us, but do not define us. That's found in verses 13 through verses 16. And then thirdly and finally, the third building block the Lord put on my heart to share with you today is this. As we go straight from the text and we exegete the text, we don't read into it. Rather, we read out of it. Here's what the Word of God is saying. Number three, the third building block is this. Namely, does not only God want us to see His purpose for us, He not only wants us to understand that the failure in the past might remind us, but it does not define us. Number three, verses 17 through 22. Verses 17 through 22. And it's this. The Lord wants us to not only see and understand, but He wants us to believe. believe that the God of the impossible will make all things possible when we put our faith and trust in Him. Can I get an amen? When we put our faith and trust in Him. All right, number one. Here it is. Number one, first building block. You want to know God's will? You want to have that assurance? Do you want to have that confidence that you're exactly where God wants you to be? Here it is. Number one, that God would show us His purpose for us. That's found in verse number 10. Read it again with me. Chapter 9, verse 10 through verse 12. And there was a certain man, a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him, that he might receive his sight. Number one, God, show us your purpose for our life. There's far too many Christians today that are just flip-flopping around, not knowing the will of God, not knowing that you're where God wants you, not understanding and having that assurance that that's where God wants you to work. That's who God wants you to marry. That is where the Lord wants to take you. We are confused. We are distracted. We are oftentimes misled by our flesh rather than the Holy Spirit. Number one, God, show us. Lord, help us to see your purpose, your plan for our life. How many believe that God has intended you not just to retire and sit back and do nothing? Can I get an amen? God didn't call you as a young person just to come and sit and soak and sour. No, God's called us to be witnesses. God's called us to be disciples. God's called us to make a difference. Question, are you doing that? Question, are you pursuing holiness? Are you pursuing Jesus and saying, Lord, I'll go where you want me to go. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll do what you want me to do. I'll say what you want me to say. Number one, there are two absolutes under the first heading. Number one, Lord, show us what you want us to do. Then, Lord, give us the grace. Here's the question, two questions under point number one. Number one is this. Are you a devoted disciple who wants to know God's purpose for your life? Are you a devoted disciple? Are you a dedicated disciple? Are you one who's following Jesus and really want? If you're not a devoted disciple, you're not going to find out God's will. You're not going to get direction. I'm not going to get direction. First things first. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things should be added to you. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33. That is, He wants to be number one in our life. Not two, not three, not four. No idols in our life, but Jesus, I want to pursue you. Your will for my life. It's a love relationship. And so number one is this. Are you a dedicated disciple who really wants to know God's purpose? I'm convinced there's far too many Christians today who don't really care about God's purpose. They've got their own agenda. They've got their own plans. They've got their own goals. They've got their own purposes and ambitions in life. And consequently, we can miss out on the will of God, the purpose of God in our life because of our own purposes. There's some of you today, I love you, but some of you today, you hadn't really tapped into the power of a living, risen Christ. You hadn't really said by faith, Jesus, I'll go where you want me to go, be what you want me to be, do what you want me to do. And today God is saying, I will never, ever really be all that you want me to be until you line up under my will and under my authority. Are you a devoted disciple? Look at verse 10. No wonder God revealed it to Ananias. Look what was said about him. Verse 10. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go up. Verse number 10. I'm sorry. Verse 10. Go back to verse 10. And there was a certain, somebody help me. Ananias was a disciple.
He wasn't a half-hearted Christian. He wasn't hit and skip and miss and you can't count on me. And if it's convenient, I'll be there. And if I don't have anything else going on, I might go. And if the Super Bowl's not playing, I think I might go to church. But if it's playing, forget that. I want to know about everything going on. So I can talk with all my friends about what happened, the score and all this and that and the other. We're caught up in the world more than we realize we're caught up in the world. And therefore, no wonder the Lord loves us. He wants our all. He wants to do great mighty things in our life. Some things we've got to let go. There's some things we've got to turn from. There's some things that God's saying, hey, look, see and desire. Want to know my will for you. Is there anybody here that say, man, I know the will of God for me? Is there anybody here that would say, I'm not sure about God's will? I want you to know the Bible teaches in the book of Jeremiah chapter 29, seek the Lord, you'll find him when you search for him with all of your heart. And James said, draw near to God and he will draw near to us. Yes, God's a good God. He's a covenant-keeping God. We're his children. He wants you to know him, number one, but he wants you to know what his will is for your life, that you bring praise and glory to him. We know that. That's a giveaway. But then what about other things in my life? Do I just make the decision and say, God, get in on my plans? Or do I say, Lord, I don't know, but I want your plans. Are you a devoted disciple? I was sitting there at McDonald's last week on Tuesday afternoon. I said, Lord, I'd like to share with somebody. I'd like to tell somebody about you. I just put it in my heart. The high school students had let out. It was Tuesday afternoon. There's a high school not far from McDonald's. And I didn't have the opportunity. I talked with a couple of young people, but it just didn't avail the opportunity to really go into much detail. They were busy and distracted. And about that time, a young man, 29 years old, sat behind me. His name was David Hawthorne. And I was studying and reading at the time, but anyway, I didn't know he was sitting behind me. Then all of a sudden, I noticed he was behind me. And I believe that God put him as a divine appointment. Long story short, this man David, he's 29 years old. He's not married. He's got two children. He didn't have a car, didn't have a vehicle. A nice young man. He had just gotten the job with the newspaper as a salesperson. And yet he was searching. I shared with him about Jesus. I shared with him the best I could with the power of the Holy Ghost. How that God would bring some things in his life if he let Jesus have his way with him and share with him the gospel. I wish I could tell you he was saved, but he wasn't. But I'm praying for him that God will bring him that place. We talked 30 minutes. Number one, are you a devoted disciple? Are you saying, Lord, use me? Are you saying, Lord, fill me? Are you saying, Lord, cleanse me? Are you saying, Lord, I want to make a difference while there's time? We know time's running out, don't we? We see some of our precious church family take it on to glory. Time's running out. What you do for the Lord, you better do it now. Because this time is so short. What is your life? It's but a vapor that appears a little while and vanishes away. You say, Brother Pastor, you can see that. We can see that very evident in our everyday life. Number one, are you a devoted disciple? Number two, here's the second question. It's very, very to the point. Are you willing to obey God when God shows you what he wants you to do? If you're not willing to obey God, there's no need to say that you're a devoted disciple. Are you willing to follow through when God tells you to do something? Watch this. Ananias. I know that Ananias had a good report among the Jews and the Gentiles. I was reading that earlier this morning even. Ananias was a devoted disciple. I can see Ananias. He is obeying God. Tell me, are you obeying God? He is walking. I'm not saying he's perfect, no. But I'm saying this. I love the scripture in Genesis chapter 24 about Eliezer, a servant of Abraham. Watch this. It says this. Let me just back up. Abraham sent him out to get a wife for Isaac. You know how God led him? Here's how the verse says. He, in the way, was being led. He was in the way being led. He being in the way was led by God. That is, it's hard to drive a parked car. And some of us are parked. We're not doing anything. I love you, but I'm going to tell you that. You're not doing anything. No wonder God's not revealing more to you. No wonder God's not pouring out more blessings. I'm not talking about doing bargaining with God. I'll do this, you do this. No, we don't bargain with God. We just say, Lord, you're Lord, and you have every right to have everything because you bought me with your own blood. And by the way, you're my master and boss. We don't bargain with God, no. But here's the deal. God will let you do what you want to do and say, you could do this. I have this plan for you, but if you're going to do this, go ahead. You go ahead. God can get our attention. Yes, he can. But wait a minute. Are you going to follow through in obedience? Here's Ananias. He's probably obeying God where he's at, doing what God tells him to do. Wait a minute. I want to say something. Hear me now. Are you listening? Blossom where God's got you planted. Here's our trouble. A lot of times we say, well, I want to go over there to India and I want to go to Africa and God, I want to do all these great big things. If you and I cannot be faithful where God's got us right now, don't expect God to do more things in your life. We've got to be faithful where God has us now. Well, if I could just get a bigger church. Can I tell y'all something? Y'all don't misunderstand, all right? Don't misunderstand. I got a call last week. A man called and said to me, he said, Pastor, we're without a pastor. Will you come be our pastor? I said, I'm where God wants me. I'm where God wants me right now. I'm fulfilling the purpose of God in my life. Tell me, do you know you're where God wants you right now? Are you absolutely sure? Are you blossoming where God has you right now? Are you? Are you looking for other things? I'm always sending out resumes. I'm always doing this. I'm always doing that. He asked me to send a resume. I've never even made a resume. Hello. I don't have one. Not that I won't make one sometime, but right now at the present, I don't need one, all right? And I'm saying this, bless the Lord. You say, but brother, pastor, don't you ever get these thoughts and about this? And oh yeah, everybody does. But wait a minute. Are you going to obey God? Are you going to follow through when God tells you to do something? Ananias, the Lord comes to him and says, I want you to go and lay your hands on a man named Saul. Seeing the purpose of God. Ananias didn't argue with God. He did kind of, sort of, but he didn't. He eventually obeyed the Lord. He said, but Lord, this man, and the Lord said, but I have chosen him as a vessel. You know what Ananias did? He obeyed God. He just went ahead and did it. He followed through. Can I tell y'all something? It's a happy day when we stop making excuses and stop alibiing why we're not serving God and got this going on and this going on and this going on. We might as well just, can I tell y'all something? Y'all gonna get mad at me for saying this, and that's all right. I'm your pastor, I love you anyway. You know, we can find every excuse under the sun for not doing what we know we ought to do, but then we do what we want to do, all right? We do what we want to do. That's the bottom line, all right? I was going to say some other things, but I'm not. I just want to say it at that, all right? Hey, glory, glory. So, have y'all ever heard of the man speaking of obedience to God? He came home from school. His mama said, son, it's getting late. Time to go to bed. This boy, time to go to bed. He went upstairs. It was, watch this. It was a full moon. Bright, full moon. That boy went upstairs and he was absolutely amazed at the brightness of the moon. It was shining into his room. He couldn't sleep. All he could do would be mesmerized. He was fascinated with the moon. His mama came upstairs and said, son, I thought I told you it was time to go to bed. He said, mama, look at the moon. She looked at the moon. He said, mama, one day, mama, I'm going to walk on the moon. 32 years later, that man named James Irwin walked on the moon. God put it in his heart. God birthed it in his soul. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Tell me, has God put some things on your heart? Has God told you he wants to do some stuff through you to glorify him? Don't sell him short. Follow through. One little boy had his BB gun. He was shooting up in the air. Man came by him and said, son, what in the world are you doing? He said, I'm shooting at the moon. The man said, son, you are ridiculous. You're never going to hit the moon. He said, yes, sir, I may not, but I've come closer than you. What are you shooting at? Hello? If you aim at nothing, you're sure to hit it. And the fact is, some of us are aiming at nothing. Nothing, absolutely nothing. We're just going through life and going here and doing this and going to work and going home and answering this and doing that. God wants to stretch you an old vision to a new vision. Hindsight that turns into foresight. Where there's no vision, the people perish. Ananias followed through. And speaking of following through, and sometimes we misunderstand what God wants us to do. I heard about a little boy that started school for the first time. He hadn't even been in school. He started school for the first time. He had never been in school, and about that, you know, pre-K or whatever grade it is. And his teacher said, "Son, I want you to stand up and put your right hand over your heart and say the pledge to the flag of the United States of America." He stood up and he put his hand on his rear end. Hello. The teacher said, "Son, what are you doing?" She said, "I said, put your right hand over your heart and say the pledge to the flag of the United States of America." He put his hands on his rear end. She said, "What are you doing, son?" He said, "When my granny comes to see me, she pats me right back there and says, 'Bless your little heart. Bless your little heart.'" Y'all come on in. Glad to have you. Anyway, number one, do we see God's purpose for us? Do we see God's purpose for us? Number two, do we understand? Watch this. Failures in the past remind us, but they don't define us. Somebody will say amen. You didn't get it, did you? Nope, you didn't get it. I wish you could get it. I wish that God would show you all the failures of the past. How many made some mistakes in the past? Yeah, yeah. And the devil, if he has his way, he's going to heap you over the head and say, "God's not going to use you. You might as well quit. Look what you've done. Look where you've been." Hey, it's not what I've done, but it's what he's done. It's not where I've been, but it's where he is. It's not who I am, but it's who he is. Hey, watch this. You know what? Verses 13 through 16. Here was Ananias. But God... Saul is a murderer. He didn't actually say that, but he could have. Saul is a person. I've heard a lot about him. His past. How many know if you be in Christ, you're a new creature? All things are passed away. Behold, all things. I'm convinced the devil is whipping. The devil is beating us up. The devil is having a heyday with a lot of Christians today because of the condemnation and the guilt of things of the past. I'm glad, praise God, when God said he forgets those things which are behind. He said he cast our sins in the depths of the sea. He says he remembers them no more. He says we're now new creatures. He says to... This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. There's some of us today that need to stand up and say, "Hallelujah! My past is under the blood, but now I'm in a new day with the Lord." Yeah, amen. Absolutely. I'll tell you, step on out in faith. And failures in the past. Have you ever heard of a northern pike? A northern pike is a fish. And we're told if this northern pike is put into an aquarium with minnows, a northern pike loves minnows. I mean, loves minnows. We'll eat them in a heartbeat. You put that northern pike in an aquarium with minnows, that pike will gobble them up in a minute. Watch. Someone put a clear glass in the aquarium, separating the northern pike from the minnows. The northern pike didn't know it. And the northern pike went after the minnows, only to hit against the glass. Not once, not twice, not three times. Kept beating against the glass. Finally, the northern pike gave up. It's too much trouble. And then they went in there and pulled the clear glass out of the aquarium. That northern pike did not know failures of the past. That pike would not even dare to try to eat one of those minnows, not knowing that glass was removed from the aquarium. Is there somebody here? Says, "Man, you don't know how I've messed up, and I've done this, and I've done that." The devil tells you can't be used of God. that you're always going to be a failure. The devil tells you. And look how you grew up. The devil tells you. You don't have the reason. You're a nobody. But I'm glad to tell you, a nobody. He'll make nobody. He'll save anybody. Tell everybody, amen and amen and amen. We might be nobodies in their sight, but I want you to know you're special in the sight of God. Failures in the past. Failures in the past. But what about our failures might remind us, but praise God, they don't define us. Did y'all hear about 350 years ago, these pioneers sailed across treacherous ocean waters, 3,000 miles of dangerous water to get to the United States of America. When they made it here in America, in the northeastern section of America, 3,000 miles, what vision, what passion. Oh, and yet listen to the rest of the story. They got here. Guess what they did? The first year, they set up a government. How many believe that was a mistake? Anyway, they set up a government. And guess what? The second year, they decided to try to branch out westward. 5 miles. 5 miles. 5 miles. They had just sailed 3,000 miles. Now they were trying to extend out westward 5 miles. Guess what happened? They lost the vision. They couldn't even go 5 miles. They couldn't agree on what they ought to do 5 miles. They had just sailed 3,000 miles, and yet they had 5 miles to go in front of them to extend their borders, and they could not come. Just lost their vision. They lost their path here. What? You were sold out to God. You were just happy in the Lord. You had a passion to see lost sinners come to Jesus. Maybe you had a burning desire in your heart to share the incorruptible, indestructible, undisputable word of God. But for some reason or another, you've lost your passion. You've lost your zeal. You've lost your vision. Where there's no vision, the people perish. May I suggest to you today, God wants to redig that vision. God wants to that passion for Him and a passion to fulfill His purpose in your life. Past failures remind us, but don't define us. And then last, number three, the third building block found in verse 17 through verse 22. First, a new vision, Lord, to see your purpose for me. A new vision, Lord. Second, to understand failures of the past remind us, but they don't define us. Number three, the third building block is this. A new vision, Lord, to believe the impossible is possible with the God of impossibility, because all things are possible with God. To those that put their faith and trust in Him. Put their faith and trust in Him. Here's what the Lord showed me, and I'll be done in just a moment. Three stages of vision. Three stages. This has been on my heart. I don't know why. Last couple of weeks. Three stages. Here they are. Number one, conception. Number two, construction. And number three, completion. Did you get it? Conception, construction, and completion. Conception. What do I mean? That vision is born. That vision is birthed. Hey, we've had a lot of cold weather lately, a lot of snow. You know what somebody said, speaking of conception? They said, there's going to be a lot of babies born in October. I'll let some of y'all think about that later, okay? Conception. Did you hear about one baby that was born so big, slapped the doctor instead of the doctor slapping the baby? I heard about one baby so ugly the doctor slapped the mama instead of the baby. Amen. But anyway, conception. Conception. Tell me, has God revealed to you some stuff in your life? Conception. Is the Lord showing you stuff that he wants to do? Don't set him short. You say, but I'm older and I can't do this. And stop talking yourself out of it. Just say, Lord, if you call me, hallelujah, faithful is he that called you, he'll also do it. Amen. God's not finished with you yet. Can y'all hear me? I said, God's not finished with you. As long as we got breath, as long as we got life, as long as we got Jesus, hallelujah, we can do anything through him. Conception 1, construction 2. Ananias followed through. Ananias heard the vision of God. I can see Ananias as he goes over to Saul. I love it. He laid his hands on Saul. And he said, Brother Saul, receive your sight. I love it. He laid his hands on Saul. And the Bible says that his scales fell from his eyes. That word, by the way, in the Greek is like fish scales. Some say sliced thinly. Saul's eyes were open. See, Ananias, the conception. God showed him what he wanted to do. But then the construction. Here's where we drop the ball. Is God shows us what to do, but then troubles come, adversity comes, challenges come, and we give in and give up instead of giving out. That's our problem. But hey, listen, child of God, you might be going through some troubles now, but don't give up yet. God's not finished. Weeping may endure for a night, but oh yeah. Then last, the completion of that vision. What's God showed you he's wanting to do? Let's trust him to do it. I'll close with this. A man by the name of, have you ever heard this man's name? Dick and Rick Hoyt. H-O-Y-T. Dick and Rick Hoyt. You know who they are? Daddy and a son. You know what they do? They run marathons together. You know how long they've been running them? 25 years. You know where they're from? Massachusetts. You know what they're doing when they're not running marathons? Triathlons. How many know what a triathlon is? You run 26.2 miles. You swim, I think it's 110 miles. And then you, not swim. Hello. That'd be a fish, amen. You ride a bicycle 110 miles, and then you swim, what is it, 2.4 miles? Some of y'all help me out. Somewhere around there? That's a long way, isn't it? Swim. Hello. Anyway, here's the point. James Hoyt, or Dick Hoyt, rather, they said to him, he didn't know how to swim. He didn't know how to ride a bicycle. But guess what? He did it. You know about his son? Rick, when he was born, the umbilical cord was wrapped around his neck. The doctor said to Dick and his wife, you might as well put him in a nursing home. He's going to be a vegetative state all of his life. Guess what? He's running in triathlons. And that mom and daddy didn't give up on that boy. Well, glory, there's some of us today that we've given up, and maybe your vision and maybe that God's called you to do has been put on the back burner or on the shelf, and God's saying, pick it up, run the race, keep the faith. Why? One day we're going to get to glory, and it'll be worth it all. Let's stand together.